You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up after 7, it's today's edition of Reveal. Today, Reveal tells the stories of children crossing borders alone in Asia, Europe, Africa, and here in the United States. You'll hear about the wars they're fleeing, where they're trying to go, and what happens when they get there. First, if you think back to when you were a kid, you probably have some strong sentimental feeling toward your favorite books. Maybe you read with your parents every night or loved how a teacher acted out your favorite characters. Maybe you even read under the covers with that flashlight after it was time to go to sleep. One author who blazed a trail for young readers was Beverly Cleary, best known for her beloved Ramona and Beezus books. In an interview with NPR in 2006, this is what Cleary had to say about the genesis of her writing career and her stories with the kids of Klickitat Street.
I know that when I was a children's librarian, that was about 1940, boys particularly asked where were the books about kids like us, and there weren't any at that time.
On the eve of Beverly Cleary's 100th birthday, we wanted to pay homage to the author and how she helped shift the literary landscape for children. Joining us now is Kathleen Horning. She's director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at UW-Madison. Kathleen, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'd like to celebrate Beverly Cleary's 100th birthday.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about her career a little bit. As we just heard, she was a librarian before becoming an author. What led her to make that change?
Well, she had an awareness of what was being published for children at that time and what kinds of things children like to read. And she also had an awareness of what wasn't out there and decided that she would try her hand at writing to see if she could write the sorts of books that kids actually wanted to read. And she sure did.
Yeah, what was it about the books that she wrote? What was she trying to do that would make kids actually want to read these books?
Well, I think one of the things she was so skilled at doing, and her earlier books, before Beezus and Ramona, she wrote books such as Ellen Tibbetts and Otis Spofford. Those are some of her really early books. And then she wrote about a character called Henry Huggins, and Beezus was one of his friends, and then it extended to from there. But I think what she was doing was writing about real kids, kids who fought with their siblings, kids who didn't always act in a perfect manner. And in fact, the fact that her character Ramona, who actually started out as a secondary character, became so popular with children because she was such a pest and she was a bothersome little sister, she really just took over the series. And I think it was because children identified so much with her.
What was the state of the art at the time when she started trying to write this way? Was it model children or really boring stuff like the Dick and Jane books?
Well, the Dick and Jane books were the readers. They were the Basils that we were all learning to read out of. Mm. But there was a lot of fiction being written for children, but a lot of it, I think, did deal with model children, or as one librarian put it, tales of sunny childhood. And that there wasn't always a lot of real-world conflict in the books. There was narrative conflict, but not the kind of conflict where you're fighting tooth and nail with your siblings like Beverly Cleary's characters do.
Well, since she was, in a way, establishing a new paradigm, did she have pushback? Were people not wanting to publish what she wrote? Was there criticism of talking about conflict among kids?
You know, I don't know that she did get pushback because, excuse me, her books were so incredibly popular. And another thing that she did was write really readable books, books that were easy for children in third grade to read. For many children in my era, and I was reading these books myself when I was in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. So kids who were growing up in the 50s and 60s, they often were the first chapter books they read on their own. I don't think there was really any pushback against Beverly Cleary because children's literature at that time was changing, and she helped to usher in a new era of children's books that really reflected more the real lives of children.
Did a lot of other authors, and I guess publishers for that matter, look specifically at her works and say, ah, this is working, this has kids reading, and model themselves after that?
She certainly did have a lot of imitators, and actually I think still does. There are a number of series that are just being published today, such as the Judy Moody series, for mm-hmm. example, or the Alvin Ho series, that can be traced back to Beverly Cleary's books.
We're talking to Kathleen Horning with the Cooperative Children's Book Center at UW-Madison. Tomorrow is children's author Beverly Cleary's 100th birthday, and we're looking at her influence on children's literature. In a little bit, we'll ask for some of your favorites at 800-642-1234. Your favorite kids' books by Beverly Cleary or other authors for that matter. Is her method in a way showing respect for kids, like acknowledging the reality that childhood isn't all fun and games and moral uplift, that it is rough and contentious?
Yeah, I think that she really did reflect the kinds of lives that kids were really leading, and that's why they connected so much. One of the things that's really interesting, I think, about the character Ramona and Beezus as well, her sister, is that they were books that were enjoyed by, and still are, enjoyed by all kinds of children. Both boys and girls read about Ramona and Beezus.
I did, yeah.
And there recently was, actually the current issue of Hornbook Magazine is a tribute issue to Beverly Cleary, and they have a number of authors and in some cases illustrators writing about what it was, their own love of Beverly Cleary from when they were young. And there are just as many male authors as there are female authors. And one of the authors, a man named Varian Johnson, who's African-American, who talks about how he connected so much with Beezus and Ramona when he was young.
I read an interview with her, a very recent one, I think, because of her 100th birthday coming up, where she said she didn't make a point of having a moral lesson, a moral at the end of the story. Was that part of the key to her success?
I think so. I think children are very sensitive to when they feel like they're being preached at, and they know when a book is entertaining and when someone's trying to teach them something. And I think that the Beverly Cleary's books do have a really strong moral center, but they're not trying to teach a moral, so to speak, if that makes sense. I think that she writes about, particularly the character Ramona is a unique character, but she's also universal, and I think that's why so many children have connected with her over the generations.
What are some of your other favorite characters that she created? Ramona and Beezus are, as you say, the most famous ones, but what are some of her other great creations?
Well, she created a character, Ralph the Mouse, who rode a motorcycle, mm-hmm. and he was, in some cases, he was the character that first got kids reading Beverly Cleary, and then they went on to read others. I remember reading Ellen Tibbetts when I was young, and that was the first Beverly Cleary book that I read, and she was just kind of an ordinary little girl who, as I recall, was taking ballet lessons and worried about things like itchy socks and being uncomfortable in the ballet clothes and that sort of thing. And, you know, I haven't gone back and reread Ellen Tibbetts since I read it as a child, but I still clearly remember aspects of that story.
Sometimes for adult fiction, things seem really attached to their time. They're great at that moment. Mm-hmm. Looking back, not so good. Do you think Beverly Cleary stands up now as well as she did when she first wrote it?
I think she does. There are some things in her book that are dated, that are products of their time. But the characters themselves and the interactions between them are timeless. They do come out periodically with new illustrations in updated editions, so they look like modern children. But just for an example, one of the writers in this Hornbook magazine was talking about an episode in a Beverly Cleary book where Ramona wrote all over her sister's autograph book. She signed every page. Mm-hmm. And autograph books really aren't something that kids have today, but it's something that kids today still understand. Mm-hmm. They understand the concept of it. So they still do seem to relate to her books. And this same librarian took an informal poll among the kids in her reading group and found that they all had read Beverly Cleary and they all loved Beezus and Ramona.
You mentioned that a lot of modern-day children's authors are inspired in one way or another by Beverly Cleary. I want to turn to some of the modern authors. Who mm-hmm. do you look at now and see having that same impact on kids, the same love of reading them by kids?
Well, I think today's modern-day Ramona is, aside from Ramona herself, is Judy Moody, a series written by Megan McDonald. And she has that same sort of she's a kid who's not perfect, and children reading about her identify with her. And like the Beverly Cleary Ramona books, they're very easy to read chapter books, and they are in a series. And that also seems to be an important feature of Beverly Cleary's books, that a child will read one of the books in the series, and then there'll be many others that they can go through. There's a familiar character. Alvin Ho is a series by an author named Lenore Look, and he is a Chinese-American kid, and he is like very much like Ramona. He's always kind of getting into trouble. It's really funny. It's this neighborhood of friends that that he plays with, and they're just all kinds of the stories are episodic in that, you know, there's one event in a chapter, and that finishes up, and then it starts another. So you're not following a narrative arc from the beginning of the book to the end. Mm.
Talking to Kathleen Horning, director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at UW-Madison. She's with us to talk about children's books, how they've changed, evolved since author Beverly Cleary began writing for children in 1950. Beverly Cleary turns 100 years old tomorrow. We want to hear from you. What was your favorite children's book growing up? If you have kids, how are their books different than the ones you had, or the ones you share from your childhood with the next generation? How important is reading to children in the age of the internet and tablets? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about children's books and children's author Beverly Cleary and how she shaped the literary landscape for young readers. She turns 100 tomorrow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has Beverly Cleary and have Ramona and Beezus touched your life? What was your favorite book as a child? How do you celebrate reading with maybe with your kids today? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Kathleen Horning stays with us. She's director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at the School of Education at UW-Madison. We'll go to our callers now with Whitney in Verona. Whitney, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call because I loved Beverly Cleary growing up, and an author that I found as a mother and teacher who has brought my children through early childhood up to adolescence is Kate DeCalmo. And she writes great books for children of all ages, including Mercy Watson to Inkspell for older kids.
Kate DiCamillo, actually, she lives in Minneapolis, so she's not too far
from here.
A local
almost, yeah.
Yeah, almost a local author. And I agree. I think she is just an absolutely fine author. And as you say, she writes a range of things from the beginning readers series like Mercy Watson and Bink and Golly to novels for older kids. She's won the Newbery Medal twice, and she's only been writing, I think, maybe for only about 15 years. So, and she was just recently the children's literature ambassador for the entire nation. So, yes, I agree. And if there are any listeners out there who haven't yet discovered Kate DiCamillo, I highly recommend that they check out her books.
Whitney, thanks for the call. That's impressive to be able to write and target different age groups and mm-hmm. to be able to do it successfully.
Yes, absolutely.
Back to our callers. Thanks, Whitney. We've got Julia on the line in Madison now. Julia, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Robert McCluskey has been one of my favorites that that I've enjoyed even before I had kids, and then I got to introduce them to him as well. And one thing that is big for me, whether it's his books, One Day in Maine or Blueberries for Sale, to me is the illustrations of a children's book. I just think, you know, some artists have that knack of really drawing kids in and adults in, and I think he really did a fabulous job with his books.
And you were nodding along there, Kathleen.
I am. You know, and it's funny. When I was a child, I always associated Robert McCluskey's books with Beverly Cleary's, and I think his illustrations have that same element of realism that I was so hungry for as a child reading children's books. I remember in one of the illustrations in One Morning in Maine, the little sister has spilled, she's sitting in her high chair and she's spilled her milk, and the cat is on the floor licking the spilled milk. It's not in the scene at all, it's not in the text, but it's just one of the details in the story. And his characters might, you know, have their shoes untied or have their hair messed up. They felt to me very much like they lived in the same universe as Beezus and Ramona.
Thank you so much for that, Julia. You can join in with your favorite children's books, your favorite memories of reading as a kid, or to your kid or to your students at 800-642-1234. Beverly Cleary celebrates her 100th birthday tomorrow, looking at her work and children's writing in general. Back to our callers now with Mary Ann on the line in La Crosse. Mary Ann, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to, make two comments. And one is that I completely agree with the prior caller about the importance of quality illustrations and story. The books that I tend to read my five-year-old are rich in illustrations, and they are older books. They're not the most contemporary children's books. One of my favorite to read him this time of year is The Story of the Root Children, which is by Sybil von Alfers. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's written in like 1902 or something.
Oh, wow.
But it's a wonderful story of the changing of the season and the waking up of spring. And I really gravitate toward the books that are really rich in the oral tradition of storytelling, even though it's written. And then the text, the illustrations match the quality of the storytelling. A lot of the books, if I go to Barnes & Noble with my son, you know, press this button here, or certain books are so simplistically illustrated that I feel like a lot of newer children's book authors are trying to kind of skip over the need to have excellent illustrations.
And Mary Ann, thanks a lot for the call. Kathleen, can you give us some recent books with really solid illustrations so we don't need to necessarily go back to 1902?
Oh, well, you know, there are some great books that were published in 1902 that are still around. But I understand the type of books that Mary Ann's talking about that she sees when she goes to Barnes & Noble, such as, you know, what I think of as kind of gimmicky books. But there are a lot of books that have been published recently that are more akin to the ones that you're talking about from 1902 than the gimmicky books. I would say books by Kevin Henkes, for example, and he does kind of a range of books as well. Like Kate DiCamillo, he does picture books for very young children, picture books for slightly older children, and then he writes children's novels as well. And he, too, is a Madison author. He's a local author-illustrator. And I always forget until I leave Madison how famous Kevin is around the world. People know him everywhere. But I think that, you know, what I would recommend is trying to go to your public library. The La Crosse Public Library is absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure that you'll be able to find a lot of really great books for your children that that you like as much as The Root Children.
Thanks a lot for that call, Mary Ann. We'll go next to Joanne in Petoskey. Joanne, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to add, I adore Cynthia Ryland. She writes the Henry and Mudge series and Mr. Putter and Tabby series, as well as she has several others, too.
Several, yes. I think she has about 100 others.
Wow.
Yeah. She's very prolific.
Yes, she's extremely prolific. Adorable illustrations. She has several board books, and she writes for a wide range of audiences, from very early to young adults.
Joanne, thanks for that suggestion. Cynthia Ryland was the name?
Cynthia Ryland, yes. And just as Joanne said, it seems to be a theme here that we are appreciating the authors who write for the very youngest and going up through childhood. Not everyone can do that, but Cynthia Ryland is certainly one who can.
Well, can you leave us with a little encouragement, ways that parents can read more with their kids, get their kids ultimately to read more themselves?
Well, you know, I always think reading aloud to children is a great thing. Sometimes people stop reading aloud to their children once their children learn to read. And I really encourage parents to keep reading chapter books to children well after they learn to read. And if you have more than one child, to find some good chapter books in your public library can help you do this, that will appeal to the range of ages of your own children. And really just read. Make it a habit. Read during breakfast or before bedtime, but try to read a little bit at least each day.
And do you think that in an age of technology, just briefly, are we still doing it? Are we still reading to our kids?
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to have an either or. You can have it all.
Kathleen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Kathleen Horning. She's director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center at the School of Education at UW-Madison. She joined us today to talk about the impact that Beverly Cleary has had on the world of children's literature ahead of that author's 100th birthday tomorrow. You can still share your favorite children's books, your favorite reading memories as a kid or to a kid. You can head on over to the Central Time Facebook page. Share your suggestions with us.